Praise the Lord, and thank you again for tuning in to In the Light. I want to wish every listener out there a happy new year. Bless the Lord. This is going to be the best year ever of your life. And so I pray that you have your expectancy stirred up to receive the great things that God has in store for you. We're going to continue in our teaching on rise and be healed. We're talking about the healing virtue of Jesus. So as we go through the scriptures and continue to mine them for the jewels of God's word about our healing and our wellness in Him, I want your faith to be tuned in. I want you to have expectancy that you're going to receive answers, that you're going to have revelation dawn upon your heart and your mind so that you can go higher in God's will for you in the area of healing and well-being. Praise God. So we're going to start today in Psalm 103. If you have your Bibles nearby, I encourage you to go ahead and turn to Psalm 103. And I want to begin today, as we continue in our teaching, Rise and Be Healed, and talking about our benefit package. You know, when you go to work for a company, or, you know, you're employed, or if you yourself are an employer and you have employees that work for you, one of the key components of a compensation package nowadays is a benefits package. You know, along with your core salary or whatever your rate of compensation is, you're also expecting, as an employee, or if you're an employer, you're anticipating providing your employees with a benefits package. And that's just to sweeten the deal. That's just to, once again, compensate your employees in other essential ways beyond financial, you know, compensation. And so in the kingdom of God, once you are in covenant with God, once you have given your life and your heart to Jesus, there is a benefits package that belongs to you. And it's identified in a good portion of it here in Psalm 103. And like any benefits package, if you don't take advantage of it, then it's not going to benefit you. If you don't appropriate it to yourself, then it's not going to benefit you. If your employer provides you with health benefits and insurance benefits and, you know, personal vacation days so that you can kind of get some time off away from that job and restore yourself personally with your family and spiritually, if you never take advantage of those things, is that the employer's fault? Absolutely not. It's there. It's available. But you, first of all, have to be knowledgeable about it. You have to know that it exists. You have to know what's in it. So you've got to sit down and take some time and read through it, become familiar with it, do the research necessary to know how you can get the most out of that benefit package. And then only will it really benefit you in the way that it was intended. Well, it's the same way with spiritual things. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. God has, in fact, given each one of His children a benefits package, glory be to God, that far exceeds any benefit package you could ever expect to receive in this natural realm. But with that comes the same responsibility for us as Christians to become familiar with our benefits package, to get into the Word of God, as we've talked about in past teachings, to let that Word be before our eyes and to get it into the center of our hearts, because it's life, it's healing, it's health, it's medicine, glory be to God, to all our flesh. And so I want to start tonight by looking in Psalm 103. And when we look there, you're going to see that a key component of our benefits package, hallelujah, that's outlined here, is healing. Glory be to God. So Psalm 103, and I really like the Amplified Bible translation, so I'm going to just read from there. And so if you want to follow with me, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deepest within me. Bless His holy name." So that's, first of all, an instruction for us. We've got to get in the right frame of mind, and we've got to be grateful for the things that God has done for us. He's already done them. It's already been made available through Christ Jesus. So now we begin to bless the Lord. We begin to thank the Lord. We begin to reverence the Lord. Honor the Lord. Express our gratitude to the Lord. Oh, my soul, not worry, not complain, not, you know, meditate on the negative things that maybe we may be encountering, but use our soul, which is comprised of our mind, our will, and our emotions, to bless the Lord, to meditate on the Lord, to think on the things that He's given to you in His Word, so that those things can become a reality in your heart and eventually a reality in your life. In verse 2, it says it again, "Bless, affectionately and gratefully praise the Lord, oh my soul. And you know, sometimes, just like David was doing here, you've got to actually command your soul to do it, because your emotions are pulling one way. If you're in pain and you're in some type of physical distress, your body is saying another thing, and you've got to center in and you've got to anchor your soul and make it do what it's supposed to do, which is bless the Lord and center in on what's rightfully yours. It says, bless, and here we go. Affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all his benefits. Glory be to God. The Bible says that we aren't to forget any of our benefits. God doesn't want you to leave anything on the table. He's made a great covenant provision available to us that covers every area of our lives. How do I know that? Because the scripture tells us in 1 Peter that he's given us everything. Hallelujah. And when you say everything, that leaves out what? Nothing. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Would you say that being healed pertains to life? Absolutely, because there's only so much living you can do when you're sick and when you're in pain and when you're beat down. So God has already given us these benefits, and he doesn't want us to forget about it. He doesn't want us to just live our lives as if we're destitute, as if we're a quote-unquote independent contractor. Because on the flip side of things, when you're an independent contractor and you're working solely for yourself, or you're working for someone else but you're not given a benefits package, then you're responsible for all of your health care expenses, all of your tax obligations. All of those things fall on you. But God hasn't put us in that position. He doesn't want us to live independent of him and independent of his blessings. But instead, we're to live dependent on him, relying upon him, the scripture says, requiring of him as our necessity, our vital necessity. So don't forget it. Don't leave it on the table. Don't live your life as if there's nothing that's been done about your condition, because in fact, Jesus has done it all. Glory to God. In verse 3, it says, in verse 3, it begins to count out and list out some of the many benefits that God has made available. Now, this scripture in and of itself doesn't comprise every benefit, because the word is filled with benefits. But this is a key summary, if you will, of the categories that our benefit package covers, of the various categories and the areas of God's provision for us and his heart towards us in these key areas of our lives. Verse 3 says, who forgives everyone of all your iniquities. Now, I thank God for that, because I know that there are times when I'm missing the mark, I'm falling short, and it's so great, it's so comforting to know that Jesus has already paid the price, and that all I have to do is confess my sin and ask God to forgive me, and he's faithful and just to do it and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And so here in verse 3, the first benefit we see is that God's forgiven us for all of our iniquities. If somehow tonight the devil has convinced you that you're not worthy of God's blessing, you're not worthy of his healing power being ministered to you, you're not worthy to be healed, you're not worthy to be prosperous, you're not worthy to have a good life and to be happy and successful, get rid of that. Reject it. Cast it down, because it's not from God. God has already made available forgiveness for all of your, every one of your iniquities. Anything that you've done that falls outside of the will of God, God has made provision for that. If you will humble yourself, come to him, repent, restoration is there. The scripture says that God is ready to forgive. Hallelujah. So here we see that forgiveness, glory to God, is a benefit. Who, the same verse, heals each one of all your diseases. God has healed and made available in your benefits package healing from not just one, not just the headache, not just the backache, not just the toothache, but all of, each one of, the Amplified Bible in fact says, your diseases. So whatever the devil and mankind in cahoots with the devil could come up with, SARS, you know, the bubonic plague, any crazy thing that could come up, AIDS, cancer, it qualifies right here. You found your answer, because it's a disease. And Jesus said each one of all your diseases has he delivered you from and healed you from. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 4. He redeems your life from the pit and from corruption. He beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Part of your healing and the restoration from healing, particularly when you're looking at a life-threatening or terminal type of disease, is having your life redeemed from destruction. That's a promise that you can lay hold of. Because when you're facing a terminal disease like a cancer or AIDS or any type of disease that mankind in and of himself does not have a cure for, there is no Band-Aid solution. There is no drug that you can take. There is no treatment that you can take that will fix whatever it is that's wrong with your body or your mind. Jesus has already made the provision that he will redeem you from destruction, meaning this, that disease that was intended by Satan to destroy your life, to kill you, and to forever put you out. Jesus says, oh no, it won't have that effect because I've already redeemed you. In other words, I've bought you back. I've rescued you from it. I've redeemed you from destruction. That's something that we need to keep on our mouths, on our lips, on a regular basis. If you can remember to do it, even on a daily basis. Recounting the benefits of God. Not forgetting them, but receiving them on purpose for you and your loved ones and your family and your pastor and your church and your friends and the body of Christ as a whole. And appropriating that benefit package that God has made available to you, just as you do on your job or in any other area where you're receiving benefits of some kind. You don't just let the paycheck come and you not, you know, take advantage of it and put it in your account or have it deposited into your account so you can then live off of it and take advantage and enjoy it. No. And so we're not going to do that where the benefits of God are concerned, because there was a great price, an awesome price that was paid for us to enjoy the benefits that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and going on, verse 5, and I love this, and I know out there, if you're over the age of 25, you're going to love this one. It says, who satisfies your mouth, which is your necessity and desire at your personal age and situation, with good, so that your youth renewed is like the eagles, strong, overcoming, and soaring. Hallelujah. God renews your youth like the eagles. I love this scripture. I'm by all means a young woman, and I know that as I live, I'm going to get older and older, but I began as soon as I learned about my benefits package, and I was so blessed by the Lord to learn of this. Basically, almost immediately after I was born again, I began to be taught these precious things from the Word. And so over the last several years, over, you know, many, many years now, I've been appropriating these promises in my life and experiencing the benefits of them. And this one, in fact, is one that I say on a daily basis. In fact, I call it, and I've shared this with some of my friends and family, and they laugh, they get a good laugh out of it, but I share it with them so they can do the same. I call it my natural Botox. You know, the big thing now is trying to preserve youth. Everybody and their mother, particularly when we see the entertainment industry, is looking for that eternal fountain of youth. And they'll do almost anything. They'll inject anything into their face or into their body. They'll swallow anything in form of a pill to try to preserve their youth. But, you know, life in its essence comes from God. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy that God is our life. And so I don't care how many potions and motions you go through, if you're not abiding in him, then you're really living on a slipping scale, sliding scale into eternal death. Life in its abundance, in its fullness, according to John 10, comes from Jesus, bless the Lord. And so there are things that God has made available to us, benefits, again, that he's given us to preserve our strength, to preserve our youth, because youth is associated with strength, it's associated with energy, with vitality, with a certain sharpness that you have, a certain edge that you possess, that over time in the natural begins to wane as this body experiences more and more wear and tear. But we don't have to go out weak. We don't have to leave this life worn out and broken down. We can go strong and overcoming. The Bible says that Moses' eyes were not dim, neither were his natural forces abated. God told Moses to climb a mountain. He said, you're going to climb Mount Nebo. I'm going to allow you to look over into the promised land. You're going to be able to see it, but you won't enter in. And do you know Moses, A, had the strength to climb the mountain at 120 years old? Some of us who are 20 can't even climb a mountain, but Moses at 120. Now you think about the people in your life that you know that are 50 and 60 and 70 and 80 and 90 and so forth. Are they living in that area and that experience of vitality, of strength and vigor? God said you can climb it and you can look over. Moses' eyes, the Bible says, were not dim. In other words, he could see. He didn't have bifocals and trifocals and bifocals. No, Moses could open his natural eyes. He could look over and he could see the fullness of the promised land. So his vision was intact. Everything about him, the Bible says, was strong and whole and healthy. And that's the will of God for you. No matter what your age is, you don't have to accept a deteriorated condition. No, you can expect to be strong all the days of your life. You can expect to live a long life and a strong life. And that is what I'm believing the Lord for every day. So I love to confess this scripture over my life, and I take it seriously because I do want to be young. Who doesn't? Who doesn't want to, you know, even if you're not young in age, you want to look at least, bless the Lord. And so this scripture is, in fact, as I said, it's like a divine Botox shot. Every time you inject your spirit with this verse, you can just imagine that the cells in your body are being regenerated and everything about your life is being renewed like the eagle so that you'll be strong and soaring. Glory to God. And then there's some more benefits, and we'll just read through these. Verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice, not for me only, but for all who are oppressed. You know, sometimes it's the stress of life that can really wear you down and put your body in a position of vulnerability where you're more susceptible to disease and viruses and things of that sort. And to me, this verse promises that as you encounter hard things in your life, as people or situations endeavor to oppress you or to cause things to happen to you that are not fair, that are not according to the will of God, that God has already said, you know what, I'm going to execute my righteousness for you and you will not be oppressed. No one will be able to harm you. No one will be able to keep you down, bless the Lord, because my hand is on your life. And that will give you the courage. That will give you the rest to go forward and know that God is perfecting all that concerns you. And it will in turn eliminate the stress that would come in again to steal your health, to steal your well-being, to steal your peace. Verse 7, he made known his ways of righteousness and justice to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy and loving kindness. So we see here that God is good, that his will for us is good. Remember we studied in 1 John that God is light and there is no darkness in him. God wants us well. He wants us strong. And I pray that as you're seeing the benefits package that he's made available to you, that you're going to begin to appropriate this package in your life. You're going to be able to stand on the fact that he heals each one of all of your diseases. And you're going to receive the healing power of God for whatever is wrong in your body. Not just limiting it to the seemingly insignificant things, or even limiting it to the major things. Sometimes we think, oh, well, I need God for this. The doctors don't know what to do, so I better go to God. But when the smaller, seemingly smaller things come up, just like, you know, a sniffle or a headache or an infection of some sort, you know, we seem to just put the covenant to the side and let it take its course. No, you don't have to suffer with anything that's not from God. And, you know, sometimes when my body is attacked, because attacks are going to come. I mean, that's just a part of this system, this living in this natural realm where there is a Satan, there is a devil on the loose, and he is going to try you. The Bible says that he roams about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, the decision you have to make is that you won't devour me, Satan. But you have to make that decision. Until you make that decision and you appropriate the promises of God and enforce them on the devil, then he will be able to devour you. But he doesn't have to. That's the good news. And so, as you begin to appropriate these benefits in your life and begin to rebuke the devil and command those pains to leave your body, command that sickness to go, declare who you are in Christ Jesus, you're going to see the power of God really come to bear. And I believe in these days in which we're living, it's not going to take a long time because We don't have a lot of time. God needs you well. He needs you up on your feet so you can go out and do what he's called you to do, so you can finish your race. He can't, you know, do as much with you, and you can't do as much for him if you're in a position of pain or dis-ease or on your back, confined to a bed, or whatever your scenario may be. The heart of God is for you to be whole and well and enjoying your life. Glory be to God. Now let's move on to, I want to look now in Isaiah. And we're just saturating our hearts again in the truths that God has made healing available to us and that it's a part of our covenant with him. And before we go to Isaiah, I do want to back up to Psalm 107 and looking at another scripture, another precious promise. Psalm 107, and we're going to look at verse 20. And in Psalm 107, and actually let me get there, verse 20, it says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Glory be to God. God sends his word. Now, we can look at that in two ways. We know that according to John chapter 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, the Bible goes on to tell us. That Word was and is Christ Jesus. So God sent Christ, the Bible says, in due time into this earth to redeem us, to save us, to deliver us out of the authority of darkness and translate us over into the kingdom of his dear Son. So God sent Jesus. He sent a Savior. He sent a Messiah. And he healed us and delivered us from our destructions. So he sent the living word, and he also sent this written logos word, which also has the life of God in it. And so any way you take it, God has sent his word, his life, his very essence to you and to me to receive and to be free. Glory to God. He sent his word and healed them. Remember, it's already done. So he's already healed us. It doesn't say he sent his word and heals them. It said he sent his word and healed them. So it's already done. Your healing is a done deal. It's already settled in heaven. And now you, as the deciding witness, have to agree with God in order to establish it on this earth. You see, there are two witnesses involved. There's the word. But the word is already settled. The Bible says it's settled forever in heaven. But now if we want to have it settled on the earth where we live and where we encounter challenges, because there's no sickness in heaven. There is no pain in heaven. There's no, you know, dying in heaven and decaying in heaven. No, that's all here in the earth. That's why God sent the word here where we live. And now that it's here, we have to determine if we're going to believe it and agree with it so it can work for us. Or if we're going to go based on what we feel or what the doctor report says or what our family members say because they don't believe the word or they don't believe like we believe. It's time to put all those things aside and simply say, be it unto me according to thy word, O Lord. If you said it, Lord, I believe it and I receive it. It's for me. Hallelujah. And don't let tradition, don't let religion, don't let anything else come against your thinking and come against your believing and rob you of what God has given to you. He has sent his word and he has healed us and redeemed us from our destructions. Glory be to God. Now going over to Isaiah, and we're going to go to Isaiah 53. And this, I think, is a granddaddy scripture when it comes to looking at the wholeness that God has provided for us through the sacrifice of Jesus. I love to read the scripture, and when I'm encountering any type of physical challenges in my body, I often refer to this scripture. I'm always speaking the scripture out of my mouth, but actually centering in on it where I take the time to put it before my eyes because I already know it in my heart. But it's good to get it before my eyes and even use it to take communion over my life. And we'll get into that a little further, a little later. But for now, I want us to go to and start to look at this in depth. And we're going to actually study this out of the Amplified Translation again, because it really gives the fullness of what the words as written in the King James actually mean in their true original Hebrew language. So we're going to look at verses 4 and 5, and we're in Isaiah 53. And verse 4 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs," which means our sicknesses, our weaknesses, and distresses, "and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace," and that word peace means shalom, wholeness, wellness, nothing missing and nothing broken, "and well-being for us, was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole." Glory be to God. God has healed you. He has made you whole. Now you must receive it. Jesus took 39 stripes on his back, on his body, for you and for me. And I've actually read after and heard some ministers teach that medical science says that there are 39 root causes to every type of sickness and disease that exist. There are only 39 root causes. Any type of sickness, disease, plague, abnormality, weakness, anything that you can think of that's existing in this earth, it has to come from one of those 39 root causes. And is it a coincidence that our Lord Jesus bore 39 stripes? Not at all. He bore it all. He took everything that hell had to give, and he bore it in himself, for you and for me, so that we wouldn't have to. And the result is, the net is, that we have been healed, glory be to God, and made whole. Now, when Isaiah was saying this and when he was seeing this, this had not yet happened. He was prophesying what was to come. God was giving him insight into the future of the Messiah and what would take place for the salvation of all men. And when Peter looked back, Peter in 1 Peter 2:24 said the same thing, but Peter was looking back on the cross. Isaiah was looking ahead to the cross, and Peter there said, "With the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole." Or we were healed, excuse me, and made whole. So it was already done. At that point, the cross had already come. Jesus had already made the sacrifice of his life. He'd already borne the stripes. And the net is, whether you were or you are, you is, pardon my French, healed and made whole. Now that has to be a reality. When the symptoms come, when the pain comes, when and if the report comes, what are you going to believe? Whose report will you believe? Will you believe the report of the Lord? Because his report, according to this scripture and many others that we've already looked at, say that you're healed. That's what God says. And when he looks at you, that's how he sees you. He wants us to embrace it. He wants us to take it like a bulldog, clench our teeth on it, and not let it go until it's manifest in our physical body. You are healed, but you still have to fight the good fight of faith sometimes. That doesn't mean that just because Jesus has made it available that it's just going to fall on you like ripe cherries off a tree. Because remember, once again, we do have an adversary that is going to contend with us, that is going to challenge us, because he doesn't want us to receive what God has for us. Because he knows that if we know that this Bible works, we're probably going to tell somebody else, and they're going to kick him out of their lives, and so on and so on. So in his vain efforts to hang on to his authority in people's lives, he tries to keep a muffle on the gospel. And that means the gospel that would come through you and through me. But we don't have to yield to that. We kick him out. We get our victory, and we go tell everybody what the Lord has done for us, how the Lord has been good to us. Hallelujah. And that's another thing. When God does something in your life, you need to be quick to testify. You need to tell somebody what God is doing in your life. Let them know, encourage them that God is still alive. He's still on the throne. He's still healing. He's still saving. He's still delivering. He's still setting free. He's still making whole whatever is wrong in your life. Glory to God. And so here the Bible tells us that Jesus bore our sicknesses. If you've ever had any doubt, he bore our sicknesses. If you have any weakness in your life today, weakness in your physical body, even a weakness in your character, maybe there's a particular area of your character that you seem to always fall short in. Maybe you're prone to lying. Maybe you're prone to lust. Maybe you're prone to inferiority complex, or whatever it may be. Whatever that weakness manifests itself as, Jesus has already borne it and set you free from it. And so you've been made free from weakness. Jesus also carried our distresses. Now, I think that's pretty self-explanatory, but anything that would cause you to be in stress and distress you, Jesus has borne it. So that's all inclusive in what he's done for you. He's also borne our sorrows and pains. So if you're facing sorrow or grief in your life, don't just roll over and take it. God didn't call you to live in grief. He didn't call you to suffer through grief. You know, and this gets really out on the edge for some Christians because they just believe that you have to grieve like the world grieves. So your loved one went home to be with the Lord. So now you have to grieve. You don't have to grieve. You know, I've had people look at me like I'm strange or like there's something wrong with me because I didn't grieve over the loss of a precious loved one. And I back up and excuse that expression. It wasn't a loss because in that instance, that person was born again. And so they're not lost. I know exactly where they are. They're with the Lord because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, am I condemning anyone else that has an expression? If they want to cry, if they need to express those things? No, absolutely not. There is a pain of separation. But at some point, you have to draw the line and understand that you're not to sorrow as those who have no hope, Thessalonians says. We have hope. We know where our loved ones are if they were born again. And if we don't know if they were born again, that's just it. We don't know. So we leave it in God's hands and we go on and we live our lives because you still have a life to live, believe it or not. And you can't live in the fullness of God if you're bogged down in grief and sorrow. Grief and death are traveling companions if you didn't know it. And as soon as you open yourself up to a spirit of grief, oh, I just can't get over it. Oh, mama's gone. Oh, daddy's gone. Oh, my husband's gone. Oh, I just, my child. Oh, Lord, I just don't know how I'm going to make it. I can't get over it. And you continue in that mode day after day, week after week, month after month, even sometimes year after year. You are limiting the life force that God has given to you. You're hampering it. And you're opening the door for other spirits that travel with grief, like death, to come into your life. So we want to resist it, if for no other reason than because Jesus already bore it for me. Why do I want to take the time and why do I want to insult God by bearing something that he put on Jesus for me so that I wouldn't have to? You know, and I'm not saying that this is easy, but it is doable because God has already made it available. But what is easy is once you yield to it, the power of God rises up on you and it takes you forth in a grace that is totally supernatural. It's a peace that does pass all understanding. And your thoughts begin to yield to thoughts of joy and thoughts of gratefulness for that loved one that you had in your life and that God blessed you with, rather than thoughts of sorrow and desperation and, you know, woe is me. I can say this because I've lived it. I've had precious, very close loved ones to go on to pass away to be with the Lord in my short years on this earth. So it is possible. And I want to encourage you with that, to begin to meditate on this scripture. Build yourself up. And you say, well, what are they going to think about me if I don't cry or if I don't act like I'm sad? You know, what are they going to think about me? Let me ask you this. Are you a man pleaser or a God pleaser? Who cares what they think about you? You are a God pleaser. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Lord is the strength of your life. So that's what you latch on to. You latch on to what God wants of you and what God expects from you, not what man with an unrenewed mind thinks, because they're only limited to what they know. You know better so you can do better. Hallelujah. And Jesus bore our sorrows and our pains. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. the chastisement needful to obtain peace, which again, as I just shared a moment ago, that word peace is all encompassing. It means wholeness. It means nothing is missing in your life and nothing is broken in your life. It's all good. Hallelujah. Like they say, it's all good. Jesus took that chastisement on him because the Bible says he had to. It was needful for him to do it in order to obtain the peace for us so that we could be free. Can you see the love of God? The love of the Father for you. He took that chastisement upon himself that was needful to obtain our peace and our well-being. You are supposed to have well-being in your life. That should be your state of existence. Well-being, glory to God, for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and we are made whole. Colossians 2 verse 10 says that we are complete in him, referring to Jesus. There's nothing in your life today, child of God, that God has not already made provision for through your union with Christ Jesus. Receive him in this new year. Rely upon him. Look to him. Walk in him and be healed.